The next speaker today will be Dr. Nathan Hansen, who is currently at the University of Georgia, and he is taking place of the speaker today.
Thank you. Chindi Fang is actually the author of this, and she couldn't make it today, so she asked me to fill in for her. So I'll try to do justice to her talk here. It probably won't take as much time as I have available, so hopefully we'll have more time for everyone else. Chindi is very interested in resilience, looking at resilience, and so she really wanted to take this on amongst older adults and understand what resilience is and how it works. If I can figure out how to make this work. There we go. All right, so some of our introduction might overlap a bit since we're talking about the same study and population, but people living with HIV due to antiretroviral therapies are actually living longer now, as HIV is really been transformed into a chronic illness. It's kind of interesting, you know, like a lot of people starting out in HIV research, my first research was on bereavement, and so it's quite remarkable now that we're here talking about aging with HIV. And you know, just hearing other talks where people talk about all the problems that HIV research has these days and that we're not focusing on things like quality of life. It's like, you know, I get that. But I also think we need to take time to celebrate. In the last 10 years, we've come a long way. But because of that, we now have this issue of, you know, in the next 2 years, half of the people living with HIV are going to be 50 years of age or older. And it does raise issues of how do you age well with HIV? How do we address quality of life? And quality of life, I guess, you know, it's a multidimensional construct. You know, these are kind of the components that we focus on, but physical well-being, functional well-being, meaning, you know, how well people are able to function and go about their daily life, cognitive well-being, emotional well-being, social well-being. Another issue that I guess, you know, is related to this is the stress that people experience living with HIV. And, of course, there's HIV-specific stressors, health, being, you know, at the top of that list, medication adherence, side effects, what does all this mean, disclosure. Then there's a lot of other stressors that people living with HIV experience that aren't necessarily related to HIV itself, but are disproportionately experienced within this population. Poverty, underemployment, homelessness, stigma and discrimination, violence. And we also know that stress is inversely associated with health and with health-related quality of life. So in thinking about stressors and in aging, how can we help people to live well with HIV and to address these stressors that they experience, both due to their disease as well as the life experiences that they've had? And so Chindi decided that really what she's interested in and what she feels is an important topic is resilience. How do people who experience all these things actually manage to do well? Resilience is one of these topics that, you know, there's not a clear definition. There's lots of different ways people have thought about resilience, defined resilience. Most definitions, you know, include some sort of idea of adversity. People have been exposed to adversity, as well as some sort of adaptation. Some people look at adaptation as part of resilience. I like to think of adaptation more as an outcome of resilience. But, you know, people have described it either way. I kind of like to think of resilience as the ability to maintain functional capacity in the face of adversity. So, you know, maybe it's a little narrow, but it also is easier to define. So resilience is often viewed as dynamic rather than fixed, and, you know, something that can change and be adapted. So that brings us around to the study that Chindi put together. She really wanted to develop and test the construct of resilience. What does resilience look like amongst older adults? There has been research on resilience in older adults, but as far as we were able to find, there wasn't a whole lot with people living with HIV and resilience, particularly in older adults. And then she wanted to look at how does resilience mediate the relationship between stress and quality of life, physical well-being, functional and global well-being, which is the name of the subscale. I don't know what exactly that means, but it's really getting at people's functioning and emotional well-being. So again, this analysis is from a larger study, which is one of the first randomized controlled studies of trials of an intervention for older adults living with HIV. This particular analysis, we included the entire sample. 11 participants were dropped because they didn't complete all the measures, so a final N of 299 is included in this sample. So this is just the demographic background. You can see that the majority of the sample was African American. So one of the things that we found particularly was the study site had a big difference in enrollment. We really had a hard time recruiting women in Ohio. And the majority of our participants did come from New York City. And again, there's definitely a difference with the women in the study being less, having completed less education than the men. In this study in enrollment, we really aimed to get 100 heterosexual men, 100 men who have sex with men, and 100 women, so that we could have each arm of the intervention filled. And we actually were able to do that. But that's why there's an imbalance in gender. So the measures we looked at, life stress was the primary outcome measure with the life problems and concerns checklist. Health-related quality of life was assessed with the functional assessment of HIV inventory, which actually includes cognitive and social well-being, but those scales actually correlated with some of our other resilience measures. We just omitted them and just looked at more of the functional and physical types of life satisfaction. For our resilience measures, we looked at coping self-efficacy with the coping self-efficacy scale. Active coping, we had several different coping measures. So we did a factor analysis and developed these three factors: social support seeking, spiritual coping, and solution focused coping. We had two scales, a sort of optimism scale, and then we had a hopelessness scale. So we took the hopeful items off of that scale. And then we had a social support, the provision of social relations scale. So we use structural equation modeling to build these models, as this is a useful technique to look at multiple regression and correlational variables at the same time. Allows us to create latent variables and account for measurement errors. So, and it also is useful for looking at mediation for indirect effects. So first, Chindi, she developed a measurement model of resilience to really try to build this construct of resilience within this sample, and then she tested the mediation, or how well resilience mediates the relationship between stress and quality of life. So just quickly to go through, the goodness of fit indices that we look at for structural equation modeling. We have the ideal goodness of fit, be on the right side, and then sort of what we observed with the models on the left side. You can see that our fit indices were generally acceptable. And here's the actual model. This is, again, building the measurement model of resilience. So you can see that the latent variable resilience is being based upon a latent variable of coping, active coping. You can see the factored loadings and the arrows pointing up from resilience, and the amount of variance being explained just sort of up on the corners, by corners of each circle. Or I guess that would be left from your perspective. And let's see. So active coping, coping self-efficacy, hope and optimism, and social support. So all loaded onto the variable of resilience, latent variable of resilience, and we got good fit. So we were pretty happy with this model, actually. It seemed to work well. And so we did have a nice, what we feel like, based on our literature review, a nice model of resilience. So then we wanted to look at how this model would mediate the relationship between life stress and quality of life. So again, we have the ideal goodness of fit indices and what we observed with our model, which again was an acceptable range. And here's our actual model, which is busy. I wish I could do a point over there. Or had a laser pointer or something. So life stress down kind of to the bottom. This was made up of, basically, we formed packet parcels from the variables, from the items we had, and created a latent variable for life stress. You can see that it is negatively correlated with physical, emotional, and functional well-being. So life stress definitely has a negative effect on life satisfaction. It's also negatively related to resilience, which is positively related to all the quality of life outcomes. And so the model kind of works the way we thought it would, that life stress is related to poor well-being, and the resilience actually falls in the middle of that those pathways and mediates these relationships. So if you look at the top row here, the total effect, so the total variance being explained in the model for each of the outcomes, physical well-being, negative 0.57. So basically here, these are the amounts of variance explained. And then the indirect effects are the amount of the variance being explained through resilience. And then at the bottom, you can see the proportion or the percent of the act of the total effect that's being mediated by resilience. So you can see that for physical and emotional well-being, around 30% of the effect of stress is mediated. For functional well-being, 83% was mediated by resilience. So our results basically, they supported that there is a multifaceted model of resilience that we were able to build and using these four variables: coping, self-efficacy, active coping, hope and optimism, and social support. And that this model or this measurement model of resilience was able to mediate this relationship between stress and well-being. So participants with more resilience had better well-being. Life stress was associated with lower well-being, and that people with higher resilience actually diminished, the resilience diminished the negative effect of stress. So strengths of the study, there have been few studies of resilience, the relationship between resilience and stress in older adults. This study really focused on strengths, on protective factors, rather than on vulnerability, which, you know, I think is one of the things that we actually were aiming to do. We wanted to look more at the positive side. And we really looked at a multidimensional and empirically based model of resilience. Limitations, cross-sectional, of course, we can't talk about causal relationships here. Again, this sample is really from urban settings. You know, the generalizability is limited. I guess one other limitation I would say is that, you know, the model of resilience that we built was really limited by the variables that were included in the parent study. So I think they're mostly the right variables, and that by, you know, taking a bunch of variables and sort of cobbling it together, it worked really well. And it sort of paints the direction for future research, which I think we could really, you know, we could maybe do a better job in defining the construct, but this is a pretty good start. Implications. So I think this underscores the importance of resilience for older adults living with HIV, and that interventions that can strengthen these things. So again, we wanted to pick components that really you can do something about. You know, coping, self-efficacy, yeah, you can probably improve that. You can improve people's coping skills. You can provide social support. Hope and optimism, hopefully that's something that you can intervene on. So we really tried to find targets that are changeable when we put together the model of resilience. And so promoting resilience may actually be useful in improving physical, emotional, and functional well-being in older adults.